Now I want to return to the text in Ezekiel 41, verse 7, that I was speaking from last Sunday. And before I read this text, I will refer to a quote that Gregory Mantle, in his introduction to his book, Better Things from Above, inserted this quotation from Faber. Now, I don't know the background of Faber. I don't know just who he was, but I have some other quotes among my notes from other authors beside this one of what Faber said, so I conclude that he was a man of note and a reputation in his day. And he said this: the devil can fight as successfully against God with low views as with mortal sins. Low views of the privileges and possibilities of the Christian life result inevitably in slackness and weakness. Now, I want you to be thinking about that while I read this text, and as we proceed with this discussion a little farther. The text, Ezekiel 41:7, says, "And there was an enlarging and a winding about still upward to the side chambers. For the winding about of the house went still upward round about the house. Therefore the breadth of the house was still upward, and so increased from the lowest chamber to the highest by the midst." Now, this house he's speaking of here was the Old Testament house of God, the temple. And you'll notice it was up, 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 and enlarging and increasing and expanding as it went from the lower to the higher chambers. That temple was a type or figure of the greater and the more perfect tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. Amen. The New Testament church. The church of God in this age of time. And it refers specifically, this text does, to our individual Christian lives. In fact, everything that describes the church of God describes you in your personal life. And I can give you some evidence of that if you would require it, but would take a little more time. But at any rate, when Ezekiel was measuring all of this, he said that he measured the whole building, and it measured so many cubits one way and so many cubits another. Then he went in to the building and measured the chambers inside of the building, and every one of them measured the same measurement as the whole building. Now, if this temple was a type or figure of the church of God, the interior individual chambers in it would be a type of the individual members in the church of God. In other words, the standard that the Bible sets forth for the church of God, that's the same standard he sets forth for you and me. The church will be what the people in it are. And if we want a high standard for the church, we have to live high standards in our Christian lives. If we want a church filled with the Spirit, we have to be filled with the Spirit. If you want a sanctified church, it takes sanctified people to make that. And whatever the standard set forth in the Scriptures for the whole church of God, that's the standard for every individual member in it. Now, it was up, up, up. And as I mentioned different times, last Sunday in the discussion, that the way to victorious living and to heaven in the end is upgrade all the way. Amen. Up, 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 up. Increasing, expanding, deepening, broadening, all the while. Now I've been thinking about what Mr. Faber said. First, let me say we closed out last Sunday at the point where we were discussing weights. 12th chapter of Hebrews in the first verse says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith." And we were discussing the matter of weights when we closed out last Sunday. And the weights that hold people down, and this is where the focus comes in on this quote from Mr. Faber about low views. Our weights are attitudes, bitterness, resentments, self-pity, hurt feelings, things of the self and flesh life, worldly attachments and affections, lethargy and ease. These and other things will hold us down when we would like to rise. But let us make no mistake about it now. There's an urgency about this, and it's an extreme urgency that we obtain victory in our lives to the extent that we can lay aside our weights and drop off those things that hinder us. And the urgency of it is this: the things that hold you down now when you'd like to rise and pull you back when you'd like to go forward, those things will be right there in that day when Jesus comes and the resurrection takes place, and the saints are coming out of their graves and rising to meet the Lord in the air, and they'll be right there holding you down just like they're holding you down now. That's the urgency of this. It's no small matter. It's not a thing to be passed by lightly. It's get the victory over them and be able to drop them and lay them aside or go down with them. Now that's the whole thing. But now Mr. Faber says the devil can fight as successfully against God with low views as with mortal sins. Now, I've thought that over quite a little in connection with this meditation of this message. And I have come to a conclusion to agree pretty well with Mr. Faber. Low views of our Christian duties, low views of our Christian privileges and possibilities, low views of our Christian responsibilities, low views are doing more damage to you and me and to the work of God today than we perhaps are conscious of. But that's one of the ways and means that the enemy uses to make us ineffective in the service of God. People say when they have what I call temper tantrums, They call it something else, but I call it that. They say, well, this is just me. It's just the way I am. And they say that when they get their feelings hurt. Well, I'm kind of tender. That's just me. That's just the way I am. And people excuse themselves and justify themselves in resentments and bitternesses and hurt feelings and all those things. People excuse themselves, you don't know how they treated me. I don't care how they treated you. That's not important. God's got victory for every child He has. And if they spit in your face, or if they slapped you, or whatever they did, He still has victory for you. Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And I'm in for abundant living and rising above the beggarly elements of the weights and of the self-life and the flesh life and the things that hold us down when we'd like to rise and hold us back when we'd like to go forward. I'm an advocate of victory. I'm not a spiritual defeatist. I'm preaching victory through Christ. And everything that's detrimental to you and me in the spiritual life, God has made a provision for its removal and our victory over it in the plan of salvation. We need not make any excuses for anything. And we need not waste time looking about to see whether this is sin or that sin, or whether the Bible said it or whether it didn't say it. If it's holding me back when I'd like to go forward and holding me down when I seek to rise, I better shake loose from it, whether the Bible said anything about it or not. It's damaging my life. And it's hurting me, and it'll hold me down in the day that Jesus comes again, just like it's holding me down now. Low views. Low views of what Christian living is. Low views of what victory is. And people in these days can associate themselves with many different things and be partakers with the world and the worldly ways and the worldly things. And that's all right. That goes right along with it. That's low views, folks. God doesn't want us intermingling with the things of this world and being put in the world's mold and fashioned according to the course of this world. The evil influences of this world. And he doesn't want us fellowshipping with those things that are dishonoring to the Christ profession. Low views. Low views of our privileges and possibilities in the gospel. I say we need to get our sights up. We need to get our spiritual vision extended. I was thinking about where I used to live at Clovis, New Mexico. It was out on the high plains. And there were no trees around. And they used to say out there, this is a country where you can look just as far as you can see and go where you look and look farther. It is just going on and on out there. I say that's the atmosphere we need to get in, and that's the air we need to breathe in our Christian plane of living. Get our sights up. Stand in a position where we can see and see way yonder and press to what we see. And when we get there, look farther and see more. Unforgiveness, hurt feelings, resentments, bitternesses, and so forth will surely shut us out in that day. We're doing ourselves damage when we classify Christian living right in with all this hubbub that's going on around us and with our hurt feelings and they did me so and so. It doesn't make any difference how they did you. Christ has victory for you. You can just rise above that and rejoice in the Lord and be happy in Him and free in your spirit and free toward the people that treated you that way. Free toward everybody. And I say to you, I've said this several times, but I believe it and I still say it, that everything that God's Word states by way of Christian living, by way of victorious and triumphant living, having victory not over some things but over everything that would plague and hinder our lives, and every promise in God's Word, every privilege that He sets forth to us, is all available to us, accessible. We can go out and possess it in Jesus' name. And God help you and me to not settle for anything less than that. Not make any excuses for anything below that plane of living. Just not settle for anything less than that. We may not be there, but remember it's upgrade all the way. Just keep climbing and keep going. And these things are in store for everybody. Low views produce low standards for the life. And having low views is what causes us to be able to excuse ourselves and go on with these things hanging on to us, these weights. This, in turn, results in only limited blessings from God and a limited measure of divine grace, which in turn robs us of victories which we might otherwise have, enrichments and fulfillments which should be realized in Christian living. This is true because we have low views of Christian standards and settle for things that are actually below scriptural standards. Now that's where the blessings are. God's word says, there the Lord commandeth the blessing, even life forevermore. And that's in His word, living according to His word, fulfilling the standard of God's word in our lives. There God commandeth the blessing, even life forevermore. Now, we are instructed in the 12th chapter of Hebrews in verse 10 to be partakers of His holiness. Partakers of Christ's holiness. Now the Bible says so much about holiness that most people have some idea about holiness. It may be a conglomerated kind of a Duke's mixture and diluted wine mixed with water, as Isaiah put it. It may be something like that and watered down their ideas of holiness, but most people have some kind of ideas about holiness. But the Scripture says that ye be partakers of His holiness. Now, folks, there's a lot of climbing to be done to do that. Amen. Up, 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 up. Up all the way. Until we reach a perfection in our lives in Him. Partaker of His holiness. We must take His holiness as the pattern of our holy living. Now that'll help us to get a perspective of what Bible holiness standards are. We take His holiness as a pattern for our holy living. But in order to do that, we must have Him in clear view all the time. We must stand in a position where we have a clear view of the life and holiness of Jesus Christ. In order to pattern our holy living after His. And God help you and me that we will not settle for anything lower than that. We may not be up to it, but God help us, everyone, that we will have a purpose of heart and we'll be scrambling to get there. We'll not be settling for where we are. We'll just be scrambling to get there. We can... Now you just lose sight of Him for a moment. In the midst of a very severe trial or test, and before you know it, you'll be manifesting something different than what His standard is. He is the standard. We have a lot of talk about standards. And somebody said this is the standard. Somebody said this is the standard. And I'm hearing standards advanced today that I never heard of in my lifetime. There's new things coming up. But that's the standard. Well, Let us recognize Jesus Christ as the standard. And keep our eyes on Him. The Scripture says, run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus. Oh, I've thought so many times that if every saint, every one of us, you and me and my brethren, we could all just get our eyes on Jesus and keep them there, how much better we'd all be. That's what we're going to have to do to follow His pattern of holy living, is keep Him in view. Keep a focus on Him. When Peter walked on the water, and I believe he did, I believe Peter walked on the water. I think I know two men that have walked on water, Jesus and Peter. And I believe Peter actually did that. Bible said he did. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But he got his eyes off of Jesus and got to looking at the waves. And the storm was on and the tempest was strong and he began to sink. The only thing that saved him was he got his eyes back on Jesus. He looked at Jesus. He said, Lord, save me, I perish. Oh, if we would just be that honest with ourselves when we feel our hold slipping and feel ourselves drifting and recognize that we don't have the zeal we once had and the love for God we once had and the victory we once had and the ability to trust God like we have in times past and faith that we used to have, but it's diminished and waned, and instead of just going on and excusing ourselves and say, well, this happened and that happened and I've been so busy and all of this that I can't take care of my Christian duties like I should, we'd just get our eyes right back on Jesus and say, save me, I'm perishing. I'm going down. We need to recognize we're going down when we're losing our zeal and losing our faith and losing our love for God and for God's service and all of those things, we're perishing. We're going down. Get our eyes back on Jesus and entreat Him to save us. Looking unto Jesus. I heard a story related, or maybe I read it. I've related it myself different times right here. But it comes in here, and I'm going to relate it again about a beggar boy on the street. And he played on his violin and had his cup out there for people to drop coins in. So one day a master musician chanced to pass that way, and he heard this boy play. And he thought that he discerned the qualities of a real musician in that boy. 2 or 3 days later, he went back by there to check it out again, and he was convinced that that boy had the qualities of a master musician. And he was seized with a desire to take that boy and to tutor him and to develop his talent and make a musician out of him. So he approached him with the idea, and the boy was really excited about that, and he went with the man. And the man worked patiently with him and just really developed the musical talent that he had discerned in the young fella. Finally, he had him finished. And he arranged a concert for him. And he was going to introduce his pupil to the music world. Well, this musician was a famous man in the musical world, and he was known all over. So he sent out flyers and posters and different things that this boy that he had trained was going to be introduced to the musical world in a concert on a certain night. Well, people just came from everywhere to see what the man had been able to do with the boy he picked up, the beggar boy on the street. And the auditorium was just jam-packed with people. But this boy came out to play, and he never looked at the people at all. He was looking out up here, and he'd step around and he'd keep looking, and finally when he got to a certain place, well, he'd start to play, and he went through his performance just looking up there. Well, that went on all through the evening, every time he came out. Well, he'd maneuver around to a certain point and get his eyes right out up there, and he would play. When the performance was over, they just swarmed the platform to congratulate the young musician. And one man said to him, said, "I'd like to ask you a question." "All right." Said, "I'd like to know why it was that every time you came out on the platform that you never even noticed the people out here. You never looked at the crowd. You just stepped around and moved around and kept looking up there, and said every time you played, you just looked right out through there all the time. Why were you doing that?" "Well," he said, "you see, it was this way. My master had taken up his position in a four-story window across the street there. And I was to get in a position where I could keep my eye on him and watch him. And as he played, he kept his eye right on the master up there. And it seemed that the genius of the master was infused right into the pupil, and he just played as one inspired. Well, now the thought is this: looking unto Jesus, he's our master.
Yes.
He's our example. Peter said that he left us an example that we should follow in his steps.
Amen.
Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Folks, that's a low view when you and I think we can follow Jesus and have sin in our lives. That's a low view. It'll rob us of his blessings and of our victories. But we're to keep our eyes on him. And as we run this race, as we put on our performance here on the stage of life, living our lives, keep our eyes right on our master. And it will infuse into our very being the attributes and the characteristics and the nature of our Master right into us, and we can live inspired lives. That's the only way that we can do it, is to take Jesus and His holiness as a pattern for our holy living and just keep our eyes right on Him all the time. And as we do, it will infuse the very nature and the love and the likeness of Jesus Christ Himself right into our being. We can see Jesus better, get a clearer view of Him in higher elevations. The closer we get to Him, the more real He'll be to us, and the clearer our vision will be of Him. The better we can see Him, and the better we can discern those, that delicate blend of characteristics and attributes that sets Jesus apart from every other human that ever walked this world, this earth. There's something about Him that sets Him apart from everybody else.
Amen.
But that's to be our pattern. And we are to go according to that. When the disciples, Peter, James, and John, went into the high mountain apart, the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter referred to it as the Holy Mount, and they went up there and Jesus was transfigured before them, and His raiment became exceeding white so as no fuller on earth could white them, and His countenance shone as the sun. I say Jesus just took on His glorified form right there before those three apostles. They had seen Him in the happy days of His ministry. They had seen Him when the throngs were following Him. They had seen Him cast out the devils and raise the dead and cleanse the lepers and heal the sick and feed the hungry. They had seen Him do all of those things. But they never had seen Him like they saw Him up there that day.
Amen.
That was in the high mountain apart. We must go there too. We must take time out to withdraw from the confusing elements and the busy hubbub and commotion of this world, into a secluded place, a high mountain apart, and there we can get a vision of Jesus that we never get of Him in ordinary circumstances. And in the usual daily run of life. And when you come down from there, come out of the high mountain apart, or out of the secret closet, or any place that you want to refer to as your place of communion with God, you'll come out with a deeper understanding and with a more pronounced victory and power to pattern after that standard of holiness. It would be the objective of Jesus if we were to follow Him. It would be the objective of Jesus to lead every one of us into a place where He could be revealed to us in a greater and clearer way and become more real to us. Christ isn't very real to a lot of folks. The time's run out there, but I want you to carry that along with you anyway, that Christ isn't very real to a lot of folks, and that's the way, that's the reason why they stumble around and mix up with questionable things and worldly things and selfish things, things of the self-life and the world life, because Christ isn't sufficiently real to them to lift them out of those doldrums and set them on high and help them to be able to live victoriously and triumphantly over it all in this present life. Amen.